You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sports, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes Rockets Running. Weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather. We got a big show for you guys and girls. It's going to be smaller than a regular episode of the Kings of Sport, but larger than a Royal Rant. It's going to be like those Snicker bars. It's not the king size. It's not the regular size. But it's like that off-brand size. That's what this show is going to be this week. So let me not waste any more time. Let me bring in my co-host, the man hailing from Los Angeles, California. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. So you have it, my baby. So much to me. Vandenberg, how we doing, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I'm doing good, my friend. For those that have seen your Instagram and Facebook post, let me say to you, I talked to you in private, but let me say on the air for the people, congratulations, my brother. I'm very happy for you and your wife.
Thank you. I've been hiding a child for the last 16 weeks now. So, yeah, thank you.
Very cool, very cool. So, I mean, I guess no one's ever really ready, but how ready would you say you guys are?
I just want to steal a 1 to 10, probably a 6 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, we got to get you and Pollock hooked up, so maybe he can come on the show one week and give you some parenting advice.
Yes, that'll be fun.
So very cool, very cool. So again, congratulations to Marcus and his wife on the impending arrival of a bundle of joy. But let's stick with Marcus and his personal goings on, because last week was the biggest week on the professional wrestling calendar, Marcus. WrestleMania week, a lot of great shows, New Japan, NXT, ROH, a lot of things going on. The post-wrestling meetup at the Broadway Comedy Club, which all culminated Sunday night in Kofi Mania. So let's just take a little bit right now, Marcus, and hear some of your thoughts about the week in general, and then we can kind of get to WrestleMania after that.
Yeah, I was in New York. I got there on late Thursday night, and, you know, I was going to New York, and then while in New York attending wrestling, I wasn't necessarily going to attend WrestleMania, which I didn't attend, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, we Friday. What did we do Friday? It's all a blur.
You didn't go to NXT Friday?
Did not go to NXT on Friday. I did watch NXT. I know that Friday night. Oh, so Friday we went up to visit my friend Michael Arsenault, who is now an author, which is still weird to say. But he's one of my close friends. He was my former roommate, actually, in L.A. at one point. And got to catch up with him. And I will give him a cheap plug, because he is part of Jemele Hill's new podcast, which launches on Monday the 15th, so probably when you're listening to this episode. So he's a part of that show. So it's good to hear from him and see how he's doing. And then we went out to eat in Harlem. We went to a place called Melba's, which has a little special meaning for myself because when I graduated from Hofstra in 2008, I did a graduation dinner at Melba's. People might be familiar with Sylvia's.
Yes.
Which is the Harlem establishment. Sylvia, Melba is Sylvia's niece. So Melba's a real person.
Okay.
And she started her own restaurant not too far from Sylvia's.
Similar menu,
soul food. It's a much smaller location than Sylvia's. So that's the only drawback. But yeah, so that was a good Friday night. I came back to watch NXT. I thought NXT was.
See, I was like, that's a great story where, you know, tying it back to your graduation. But I was hoping like for a more compelling ending. Like when I was at Hofstra, I would walk back because I didn't know Melba's was a soul food restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Until you explained it. So I'm thinking in my head, in this the Marcus Vandenberg movie playing in my head, Marcus is this struggling undergrad who just wants to have a nice dinner, and the people at Melba's won't let him in because of the way he looks and the way he dresses, and he's a broke college student. But now, finally, he is an accomplished journalist, and he walks into Melba's and orders the biggest thing on the menu. But
not
no,
so
you've already eaten there.
Yeah, I've been there before. It's been a while. It was featured in one of those CNBC shows.
Okay.
I can't think of which one, but essentially the gist of it was that they were trying to, I think, find a way, not to save the restaurant, but I think to sort of improve the business.
Okay.
So yeah, that was Friday night. Came back watching NXT. Thought NXT was good, not great.
Did you catch any of the New Japan ROH show?
That's Saturday. We'll get there. That was on Saturday night. So Saturday, we did go to Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, we were standing across the street from the Garden, so that made it really convenient and easy.
Ah.
And before the show, got to hang out with Andreas.
Okay.
And Kel and Kel's new wife.
I was going to say, the recently married Kel Dansby.
Yes. And Jeff from Bleacher Report. Jeff Johnson,
okay.
I believe is his last name, and our friend Anthony. And then got to catch up with Andreas and I, you know, I famously worked at BT, and one of the cooler people at BT was a guy named Steve Pammon, who now works for Beyonce's entertainment company.
Okay.
As I think he's the COO, so it was good to catch up with him. He's also related to our friend Anthony Springer, so... we hung out there. We hung out before ROH and went to the show. We all sat in different sections. I sat. So MSG, during the latest, they did a rehab probably 8 years ago now almost.
Okay.
And they added the section of seats that are, they're called the Chase Bridge seats. And they are located sort of at the top of the arena, but they look down on the action. So it provides this cool perspective, especially for wrestling, where you're looking, you're high up, but you're,
right.
The way the seats are, you're looking straight down on the ring. So,
okay.
I was
so
debating.
So it looks like a Fire Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, sort of like that. Yeah. So I figured, hey, I wasn't trying to spend a whole lot of money on Ring of Honor, mostly because I was not sure how long my wife wanted to actually sit through Ring of Honor. Because the hotel was so close, I figured, all right, she would just, you know, bail on me. So seats were like $40. The interesting thing about the tickets in general for the show was the secondary price took a beating. And I would say it was full, but you could get in for $20, which,
okay,
all things considering, it was a great value considering... You know, it's MSG, it's New Japan. You get to see, you know, some people you normally don't get to see in the States, let alone in the Garden, like Okada and Tanahashi, and you know.
Muda.
Yeah, I miss Muda. So we we were trying to figure out, all right, we wanted to see Suzuki.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, what are the odds he's actually in this, you know, battle royal? Maybe they'll put him in the Bully Ring match or something else. So once we were sitting at the bar during the pre-show and then saw the tweets that, oh yeah, this battle royal is going 40 minutes and, you know, we missed Muda and Suzuki. So
yep. That
part sucked. But the rest of the show, did you watch it?
The battle royal was unexpectedly stacked.
Yeah.
Muda, Liger. Got our boy Kenny King.
Kenny King, who run the Battle Royal. Did you watch the rest of the show?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I talked about it on Place to Be Nation's main event the other night. Kevin Kelly stopped by and had some insider information on the show. I thought overall it was a really good show. I think given the historic nature of this being, what, the first non-WWE show to run the Garden since 1960 or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that made it a big deal. Most of the matches paid off. I could have done without the whole Bully Ray Enzo stuff.
Yeah.
What'd you make of that?
I was so confused. And you got to remember, this was happening. So Brett happened. The Bret Hart incident happened probably within the hour of this match. So after the six man tag with Bully Ray and those guys. Or no, was it? No, it wasn't Bully Ray. This was...
Supposed to be, I think, just Bully Ray.
No, this was after the Gorilla Destiny match.
Oh, it was after the three-way tag match. Yeah,
it was after the three-way tag match. And all you see, you see this commotion from the front row. And I had no idea what was going on based on my seats. And it wasn't until later on that people said, oh, yeah, it's Enzo and Cass. And, you know, you could tell it was obviously a work because there were no cops in sight.
Right.
And the locker room was pretty late in coming out and trying to actually get out there. So I went on for a good minute. Meanwhile, like, Tamatanga is, like, headed to the bath. They're just, you know, ignoring this shit. I guess in the broadcast, they did not actually show the incident, right?
No.
Yeah.
They wanted to make us believe this was real, even though, like, it's Enzo.
It's Enzo, yeah.
Nobody cares about Enzo.
Finally, those guys go out through the crowd, and, you know, it sort of leads on to the next match. But because of the Bret Hart incident just happening, I would say, well, isn't that the timing kind of out on that? Because it was basically the same premise of, like, someone jumping the rails and attacking, though one was real and one was clearly a work, so...
Yeah,
I don't
you
know
see
what
the reaction of the performers when one is real and one is
yes.
work.
I don't know what ROH is doing between that and the Beautiful People 2.0.
Yeah.
Even that situation, I was trying to figure out what was going on during that match, and it wasn't until I think Angelina did the little butt shake getting in the ring, and I was like, I know that move. It's the Beautiful People. It's the calling card.
Yeah, this is it's interesting because that's one of the things we asked Kevin about on the show, and basically he was just like, you know, that's an ROH deal. and so read into that, infer into that what you will, but like I think ROH is in this weird spot because they know like New Japan is what New Japan is. They know they can probably hit a footsteps from AEW coming up on them. And NXT is just kind of devouring all of the talent that is not in any of those other companies. And so, like, I think they're trying to make something happen. I just don't know if this is the thing that their audience will accept.
Yeah. I think Ring of Honor, in order to take that next step, and maybe they'll be forced into it because of AEW, is they need to figure out a better TV situation. They do have Sinclair, but Sinclair is very regional, and they're huge markets like LA that are not a Sinclair market.
Yep. Especially when you hear, you know, the AEW Turner stuff, which we've been talking about for a while. Like that's a game changer because that's something that everybody gets Turner. Everybody gets, you know, TBS, TNT. So that automatically puts them a step above Ring of Honor.
And the latest on that is it should be announced in May at Upfront. And then the rumor is the show will actually launch in October around the time of the SmackDown move. So Tuesday nights will be AEW, it looks like. But I think that's what, without national TV, I think it's a hard sell for wrestlers to say, hey, come to ROH where you can, you know, you might be on and at midnight in some market or not on at all. And you know, the pay-per-view situation's a little,
yeah,
you know, it's not the best. So, yeah, I think there's some talent, but they are definitely lacking that star power. And if you took away that New Japan partnership, then
it would be
really bad.
Yeah, like this might be, when we look back historically, this might have been their last big show at the Garden, considering what's on the horizon.
I mean, just the fact that, you know, one of your featured ROH matches included a Bully Ray in 2019. that's not a good sign. And you know, the Dalton Castle match ended up being a squash.
Yeah.
I think Bandito, that match was really good, the three-way. But in general, I think the ROH matches were a step down from the New Japan matches, and it probably brought down the card overall as a whole.
Even the main event, for ROH, the three-way.
Oh, Matt Taven. Oh, man. I didn't know Matt Taven was from Boston, but I'm glad that he was from Boston just for his introduction, because the fans let him have it. There are multiple fuck Matt Taven chants. He ends up winning the match. Matt Taven ain't it. He's not it. He's not the guy.
We were talking with Kevin, and Kevin was speaking about Jay Lethal's, looking back at Jay Lethal's title reigns,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, he's a guy that kind of got the, you know, you can never predict when somebody's going to get an opportunity, and we'll talk about that with Kofi in a second, but he's a guy that might have gotten the right call at the wrong time, you know, when you had all the elite guys leaving, and you know, he's kind of put in a position where the challengers that they put up against him really didn't light the world on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so his reign as a result felt underwhelming. And so, yeah, Kevin's like, you know, he'll probably have another reign, but the promotion feels down. So he feels down.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what, to be honest, another reign would do for his career. He's someone who's probably desperately in need of a fresh start somewhere else.
I mean, he's got a contract, though. I mean, contracts can be broken, but
yeah.
Maybe he'll lie down on the floor and cause a scene, allegedly.
Oh, I know what you're referencing.
Shout out to Ryan Satin for his hot scoops.
Yeah.
So you went to MSG. So then, did you do anything else fun Saturday night?
I stood in line at McDonald's for like 45 minutes. Cause
you're not a McDonald's eater. Was that the only thing that was open?
The only thing that was open and close. Mm. And, it was so close to MSG that it was slammed after the show, which ended probably around midnight. It was a long show. Should have ate the arena, but
why did you just eat something at the Garden?
I didn't feel like having chicken tenders or whatever else they were serving up there.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, you know, the food's not great at MSG. So, yeah, that was Saturday night. And Sunday, Mania Day, woke up, went to see John and Way do their live show at the Broadway Comedy Club. Saw Brian Mann.
Ah.
Who sends his regards. He says hello. I got to meet Ahmad for the first time.
Oh, Ahmad Butt.
Ahmad was there. I got to see Braden. Got to see, obviously, John Way.
Yep.
And got to see Brandon in New Jersey in the flesh, which was... So, my judgmental wife was sitting there.
Mm.
After the show, you know,
has she been John Way before?
Oh, yeah, multiple times now.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes. So she goes to the show. She's a trooper. She doesn't know what the fuck's going on. And after the show, there's a meet and greet with John Way.
Right.
And I wanted to say hello to John Way. I did not want to meet John Way. But I did not want to be that guy who just hopped on stage and set what up and left. So
big time's the line.
Yeah. So I was like, no, I'll just wait for people to actually go through the process. So
right.
My wife is sitting there and off to the side, just sort of like not laughing. She's just enthralled by, I think, the wrestling fan, the average wrestling fan. And you can sort of picture what that looks like.
Yes.
Going up to meet John and Wei and just like being almost starstruck and just like, you know, it's like, I don't want to call him dork. It's not John and Wei, but some of the listeners, but you know.
The postmarks.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. It was interesting observation to watch from afar of just people. And I think it's very cool. I think we sort of take it for granted because we know him a little bit, but I think it's very cool. And I think very humbling to see like what these two guys mean for so many people. And sort of like how they've sort of introduced to their, you know, people's day to day, week to week sort of lives. So, that was cool just to sort of see like people geek out over them. And
he sent me some of the pictures and I was like, you know, it's just knowing those guys and having the level of relationship that we do, you know, to whatever extent you would classify our friendship, you know, long distance or whatnot. But just seeing where they are now from where they were, you know, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable thing. And it's like, you know, a lot of times good things happen to bad people when you talk about the, you know, the entertainment industry or journalism or broadcasting or sports. So it's good to see good things happening like two really genuine dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like if more power to them, man, if they can get, you know, humanoids to come out and buy tickets for a post Q&A, keep getting them checks.
It had to be probably, man, almost 100 people there.
Okay.
The room was full. And the room was not black, which I did text you about.
Oh, yeah.
That's my wife.
Let the listeners know about this this yes. situation here.
Let me find this conversation here.
This is racial profiling.
Let's see. all right. Well... So Facebook, I was sending a note to Nate on Facebook, and I was on my phone. So there's a funny autocorrect here when I was...
Yes.
Yes. So my message should have read, "We are at John and Wei." Shannon goes, "I'm surprised to see two black faces in the room." And then when she asked, "Where's Nate?" and gave you crap... Oh, and then she asked, "Where's Nate?" and gave you crap for not coming up because it's a shorter trip. So what Facebook actually wrote to Nate was, "We are at John in Asia," instead of John away. I don't know how Facebook got Asia out of way, but...
Facebook is racist.
Yes.
Zuckerberg.
Yes.
John in Asia. So did you actually talk to that other black person to find out who they were?
No, there was a couple. I did not talk to...
Should have had like your own little private meetup in the corner.
I know.
Like your own little mini Wally Mania.
Yes. No, there's probably like four of us total, counting myself and my wife. So, but everyone was nice and got to see them for a second. Got to say what's up and let them know the news. And met up with... Kale and Andreas for brunch because brunch is important even in New York. And we found a spot that had like an entree plus all you can drink mimosas or beer or wine for $30. So that was,
did you just get regular beer and squeeze grapefruit into it?
Oh man, I should have. No, I got mimosas. So we did that. And, as I mentioned, I was not going to WrestleMania.
No.
The reason why I can say now is because my wife is pregnant, and the idea of having her sit outside for 8 hours because there was a threat of rain during the actual show up until a couple of days out.
Yeah.
And once that rain thing cleared up, the prices shot up on tickets. So I was very, it wasn't my first Mania.
Even if she wasn't with child, that would have been a long and probably miserable evening for her.
Yeah.
Once we get past the highlight of the Kofi stuff, it was like that downhill. Last 2 hours, man.
And this is what happened last year with Mania. It's Mania, the first half of Mania started off great last year. Then hit the wall. And then the wall won. And the second half was pretty dreadful. We did not end up going.
You heard the stories about people getting stuck.
Yeah, that turned out to be really bad. And she had an early flight Monday morning. So she was out the hotel by 5:30, and people were probably still getting back from Mania at 5:30. So did not go. It was fine. Watched from the hotel, and actually during the Kofi match is when my wife started to get hungry, and I had to go out and get food. And the timing worked out that I was getting food during the entire Kofi match.
Oh.
So I was watching on my phone while walking to get the food, but I was not actually able to, sit down, man, and actually fully take it in. And as Kofi was getting the 1-2-3,
she couldn't have gotten hungry during the Triple H match.
I know. She watched the match. She got into the match while I was gone.
Oh, man. Like, if you just wait 15 more minutes, then yeah, Triple H and Dave will be on for half an hour.
I know. So,
You didn't see any of it in the moment?
Oh, no. No, I watched it. I watched it on my phone, but I was, walking around. You know, it's not the best best viewing experience, but I got to see it, so.
So what did you think of the moment? Because I obviously that was the highlight of the show. What did you make of the match itself and, the subsequent response from the crowd and from people on social media?
And the match was very good. I think the match was better than I expected. Mm. It told a great story. I thought Daniel and Kofi were both great in there. As for the actual moment, I think that's probably the not that I was emotional or choked up over the result, but that's probably the closest in terms of like actually having felt something in my heart for wrestling.
In your cold, cynical heart?
Yeah, for a wrestling match. Probably since Daniel won at 30.
Mm.
Yeah. And that was just a cool moment of watching Daniel Bryan sort of win his second match of the night.
Yep.
He's holding up the belts, Superdome. That was just an awesome moment. But obviously this is a little different. This is a little more personal. This hits closer to home. Seeing Kofi's family in there was great. His kids, his wife, how excited that Big E and Xavier were. It was just a very special moment. And, I think one that, to be honest, I did not expect to see even 3 months ago.
Nope.
And who knows when we'll see it again. So
enjoy it.
We better cherish this moment. You better buy that DVD.
Oh, man. Yeah, because I was watching a lot of stuff on what is it? I think it's Black Wrestling Alliance on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
They post a lot of good stuff, and they had like a lot of footage from Wale Mania, and like all the black wrestlers cheering Kofi. Like it was cool to see that it meant as much to them as it did to the fans.
Yeah,
and so like when you have a genuine WrestleMania moment, like we've seen Marcus, over the years, they've tried to kind of force feed moments to people, and it just doesn't work because it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like a genuine moment that I think when you look back at this show 10 years from now, even though it was the show where Brock Lesnar lost to Seth Rollins, the show where Batista and Kurt Angle had their last matches, allegedly, the show where you had the first ever women's main event at WrestleMania, the one thing that people will remember about this show 10 years from now was Kofi.
Yeah.
So, and then I think today he put up something from his, like, home.
Oh, he did.
From his uncle in Ghana.
Yeah.
With, like, everybody just going crazy. And, like, they're like, they need to have a show in Ghana. Like, forget, skip Crown Jewel, give him some money back, and have a show in Ghana instead of Saudi Arabia.
The most surprising thing from that caption was he has not been a Ghana since, like, 1994, I think.
Yeah.
It just feels like the right time to go back to the title.
That would be crazy.
Even if just a visit, you know?
Yeah.
Just sort of to document
just
that.
Just little kids chasing Kofi down the street.
Actually, let me see. I know they usually go to Africa at least once a year, the company.
They better move that trip up before Vince has him drop the belt.
Say when Jinder won the title?
Yeah, man.
They're like, get all the Indian trips in now, because you don't know how long it's going to last. Andreas Hale also put together like a compilation of
Reactions.
The reactions.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
And I think that sort of, if you never understood why this stuff matters to a certain segment of the audience, then I think that video was sort of drilling home for you. So
yeah, that was a very cool piece by Andreas. And like, yeah, like it goes back to like everything that I was saying, talking about with John and Way on the Cafe Hangout, you know, a few weeks before Mania. Like this is, if you just want to watch it as a wrestling story, you can enjoy it on that level.
Mm-hmm.
But for wrestling fans of color, particularly black wrestling fans, like this is something that resonates more, and it's something that folks have been waiting for a long time. Like, I'm not here to argue about The Rock. Like, in my opinion, The Rock is black. He's half black. He's biracial, whatever. But it's been since then. Like, there's only two names on that list, The Rock and Kofi Kingston. And so regardless of what your thoughts are on Dwayne Johnson's heritage, this is a big deal for wrestling fans in the African-American community. And I think like the last week or so of reaction to Kofi's win has shown that.
You know, SOS, I hear them shouting, SOS, I hear them crying.
Did The Rock comment on Kofi winning?
I hope so. Because I haven't seen it. It doesn't mean he hasn't. I hope so. Because if not, that's going to feel a little...
conspicuous. Now.
I know Booker T was all about some Kofi Kingston this past week.
Man, it was April 7th. Let's see.
If The Rock didn't say anything...
He has not said anything yet on Twitter, at least.
Damn it, Rock. Well, hey, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, Marcus. He's a busy man. Maybe he called Kofi.
Oh, I'm sure he might have reached out to him privately, but he also knows what it means to sort of... He did find time to tweet about Dark Side of the Ring, though.
Yes, yes. But yeah, like Booker T, MVP, like Mark Henry... the Crime Time guys, like every kind of notable black star over the past 5, 10, 15 years was very active on social media about this. And a lot of Kofi's contemporaries that are white, like, just are genuinely happy for the dude. So I'm happy for him.
He did find time to tweet Scott Rudowski of HQ, who... just leaving the game.
Really, Rock?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Maybe he's just setting up the program. Maybe this is like long term built here. He's trying to build heat. He's going to not acknowledge the other black champion.
Oh, man, that's wonderful. So we get The Rock and Kofi, and when Kofi beats The Rock, instead of shaking hands, he'll give him, like, the black power fist and a nod to embrace the blackness.
Yeah, I thought he was going to jump the broom, like he would jump the Rock's body or something.
Oh, so yeah, shout out to Kofi Kingston. Unfortunately, Big E got hurt, so...
Yeah, Big E's out.
A lot of people are out now.
Styles
Big E, Nia, Styles.
Nia's hurt. Nia's got two torn ACLs, which...
Damn.
Yeah. That's, seeing that cheer.
Yeah.
Who else is out?
Rousey's hurt her hand, right?
Rousey hurt her hand. Which, yeah, it's not that Rousey's not calling anyways, but Rousey's hurt. Angle's done. She's having surgery actually this week on her hand.
Okay.
So that's not good. Per Sean Ross Sapp, a Fightful, Rousey will have the procedure done on Tuesday, and WWE officials are hopeful she'd return either later this year or in early 2020.
Interesting.
And Sapp also noticed that she has not given them a clear indication of her next move. So maybe this is time to start a family if you're Ronda Rousey.
I mean, there were the rumors out there that she was thinking about taking a sabbatical anyway. So
yeah,
this ultimately might not be that big of a detriment to the company in the long run.
Yeah.
So. And then you stayed for Raw and SmackDown?
I stayed for Raw, and I went to Raw Monday. And,
you were one of those smarks that Sami Zayn was talking about, chanting AEW.
Yeah, yeah. The Raw was a letdown. It was not as good as previous Raw off the Manias.
It started off great, though, like that first segment with Kofi and Seth. Until, like, right up until the moment where he's like, we'll have a champion versus champion match. I'm like, okay. Time to watch UVA.
Yeah. The Raw, I mean, and the ratings sort of reflected that it wasn't great, because the ratings were not great. But
no.
Even the fans were not really into it. Maybe it's just they're tired, you know? It's a lot of wrestling.
Yeah. Like, most of them probably didn't get home until 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah. And then Raw goes to 11 p.m. So it's just it's a lot of wrestling.
Some would say too much wrestling.
Yes, I would be one of those people. As soon as that tag match started with was it Kofi
the
and
bar?
It's it yeah, I was out. I got up, left.
Beat the traffic.
Because Barclays is right below the subway station. I was already wondering, like, what is a subway station look like after a Barclays event? Because there's, you know, there's only so much room down there. So
yeah.
But as I was walking out, I was like, if the Undisputed Era come out, I'm going to be really mad at myself for leaving early. But alas, no, just a tag match. And all right, folks, SmackDown tomorrow night. What was the point of this? So, I mean, Raw was not good. SmackDown was a little better.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know where I stand with wrestling at the moment. I think we're about to hit that stretch after the draft where there's a bit of a lull between, I would say, now and SummerSlam, but
hey, you got to get ready for Double or Nothing next month.
I am going to that. So yeah, that's next month. I don't consider that wrestling. That's a whole separate category.
Oh, that's a separate category. That's not wrestling.
Yeah.
It's good wrestling.
Yeah. So I mean, in terms of WWE, I don't know where I stand, but I don't know. It feels like. Well, we didn't talk about the women's match, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah. The main event.
Yeah, I was disappointed. What about you?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't a bad match.
It wasn't a great match.
No, right. It didn't live up to WrestleMania main event standards, and I think part of that was the way the match was constructed, and the other part was you already hit the peak of the show an hour and a half, 2 hours before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And also, though, I think this match would have been 100 times worse had Charlotte not been in it. If it was just Becky and Rousey, I don't know if Ronda would have been ready for that spot.
Yeah, I think that having them in that spot was probably a disservice to the women in general because, I mean, look, it's after midnight at this point. Whatever headlines you were going to get were probably not going to be seen until the morning.
Yeah.
It's almost better. Daniel and Kofi would have been better, I think, in that spot, closing the show.
Yeah.
And putting the women in that spot and having them up a little earlier in the card.
And at least
maybe taking some of the pressure off.
Yeah, well, the thing with Charlotte and Becky and Ronda, it was a foregone conclusion that Becky was going to win.
Yeah.
Whereas with Kofi, yeah, you think Kofi's going to win, but you still had doubt.
You never know. Yeah.
Right, you never know. And so I think that would have been a better way to kind of end the show. And the crowd probably would have still been in it.
Yeah, they would have stayed. And you would have had your moment to, you know, your great moment. I think Kofi's moment was bigger than Becky's moment.
Yeah.
With hindsight. So, but yeah, I thought the match was just okay. The ending sort of was not good for whatever reason. That's the reason. That's the ending they wanted to go with, which is fine. But, that second half of the show is just, it really dragged. And I do think they're at the point now, they had to figure out what to do with WrestleMania because they can't keep going at this pace.
No.
It's just too long.
It was a really good 4 hour show. The problem was it was a 7 hour show.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, you can have a big show, but you got to know when to say when, because yeah, the audience is getting burned out. The party I attended to watch WrestleMania after Kofi, you could tell the energy in the room was decreased, particularly during that Triple H match. And so, yeah, I think they kind of did a disservice to your point, to the women, by kind of putting them in that spot.
Yeah. And, NetShare's in Tampa. So back on the Eastern time zone, the rumor for after Tampa would be Los Angeles.
Mm.
And I don't know, maybe that's the year you try to go out of the box and try to do two shows or something different, to sort of capitalize on being in that new stadium. But also, you know, sort of acknowledging the fact that you want to run these long shows.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. And especially in Tampa, I went to the show in Orlando a couple years ago. It was 90 degrees that day. There is nothing fun about sitting in the Florida heat.
No.
To watch wrestling. So, I think, you know, unless you want to do all dome shows where it's a little more climate controlled and people don't have to worry about the elements, I think you're asking a lot to have people sit out there either in the hot or in the cold to enjoy your product.
That's why they need to bring a WrestleMania to Virginia, because we have a nice temperate climate. Set up shop in the Hampton Coliseum. I'm sure Vince would find that venue to his liking.
Yes.
Let's go from the ring, Marcus, to the hardwood. We got two stories to talk about in the world of basketball. Let's start with the positive. Because we have new NCAA champions.
I thought the positive was Magic tweeting, but go on.
I didn't want to talk about your boy like that. I want to give it some time to work up to the Magic. But UVA, Marcus, by hook or by crook, by the skin of their teeth, are your new NCAA basketball champions. What did you make of the run, and what did you think of the championship game on Monday?
I made zero of the run. I made zero of the game. I didn't do a bracket. I just didn't care. Good for Virginia, I guess.
Good for Tony Bennett.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great comeback story to get him bounced. Saying,
given the option of Texas Tech or Virginia, it was the best story.
I mean, Texas Tech, come on.
I mean, other than Lil Nas X, what did they have?
Texas Tech?
Yeah.
I mean, they had just the Nipsey Hussle sort of storyline, but
And then shout out to Lil Nas X for the Billy Ray Cyrus remix, Marcus. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I saw he had a sellout to get put back on. That's fine.
Billy Ray Cyrus hopped on the track.
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't. I watched probably like the last 3 minutes of overtime.
Mm.
But you know, I couldn't watch Name Me One Down on Texas Tech, Jarrett Culver. I can name you a few guys on Virginia, but I just feel like they're just, you know, outside of DeAndre Hunter, they're just guys.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was a good run. This tournament, much like WrestleMania, lost its steam once you had the main attraction kind of go out. And, you know, it was Duke with Zion Williamson. I think the actual games were good, though. Like, the actual on-the-court stuff was good. Virginia's not the easiest team to watch for a mainstream audience because they are so defensive. But I thought the overtime win, like the games had stakes in the end. And then particularly if you're a fan of Virginia, I thought it was a good little run. And, yeah, good for Tony Bennett, man. Like going from a joke to a champ in the span of a year, good for him.
Yeah,
Charlotte Hornets great, question mark.
Tony Bennett?
Yeah.
He played in the league?
Yeah, Tony Bennett was in the league. I mean, I think I had his Topps card at one point.
What?
I believe I had his Topps card.
I didn't know that.
He was like a...
three seasons.
Yeah, with the Hornets, yeah.
I had no idea. He was
like a poor man's Rex Chapman.
Average 3.5 points. He was a 35th overall pick.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Wow, that's a bad draft.
And that's why the Hornets have never won anything. But now, Marcus, we can talk about your boy, Urban Magic Johnson. And I guess he's got a lot of free time on his hands now.
I'd like to announce to the show that I'm going to quit the show. Please don't tell Nate that I'm going to quit the podcast, but I'm done.
Difficult. If Marcus came and talked to me beforehand, I would convince him to stay.
Yeah. I just, you know, Nate's like a brother to me. I just can't do it. So I'm gonna quit and go back to getting these jokes off on Twitter. And, Nate, what was my boy doing?
When the news came across, I was thinking, okay, it happened what? It was,
Thursday night? No, it lost to the regular season. Wednesday night, I think.
Wednesday night, like, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
And, like Magic Johnson steps down. Magic Johnson quits. Magic Johnson is out. Like, that doesn't sound right. So I'm going on Twitter, flipping on ESPN. Next thing I know, I see your boy sitting up here with Rachel Nichols. Like, what was there any kind of hint of this out in LA, out in your neck of the woods?
Zero hint. Zero. And I think everyone expected, at least that night, for Luke to get fired.
Right.
But no, there was no talk about Magic either getting fired or quitting at all.
So, what do you think your Lakers do next, Marcus? Because Magic's out, and now
Luke is out.
Maybe he'll resurface with Sacramento. Who knows?
Oh, that's almost done. Yeah.
Oh, it's almost done?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess it's a good landing place. Low expectations.
Very low.
That's always I find, Marcus, that sometimes people discount the value of having low expectations. It means you can over-deliver.
Yep.
What do you think they go? Because they need a new coach. I guess Pelinka's still there, but where did this team go in terms of putting together something around LeBron James?
Yeah, Pelinka staying and, you know, coaching. We've heard Ty Lue. We've heard Monty Williams. We've heard Juwan Howard's name.
Interesting.
All three guys, former players, which seems to be LeBron's MO when it comes to coaches.
You think Mark Jackson would be up for the job?
Probably not. Probably not.
It's got to be Ty Lue then, right? It's got to be Lue.
Of those three, considering he's a former Laker,
He's got a ring. Whether you want to debate the merits of his coaching acumen, like he's got a ring.
Got a ring. I think LeBron tolerates him enough.
Mm-hmm.
There is some ties to L.A. So, yeah, I'm going to say Ty Lue.
It's not the worst coaching hire.
No.
Question is, who the hell is he going to coach other than LeBron?
That is a fair question. He'll have, the young guys. The other interesting story this week was the Pelicans, who hired David Griffin as their GM. So the odds of that Anthony Davis trade are probably not going to happen now. So
Griff's not going to help out his boy?
Probably not.
Oh, man. So they've got to do something, Marcus, because I'm not a Laker fan, but I think the league needs for LeBron to be in the postseason, one. But if the Warriors are on the decline, or if they, players are going to start going to separate ways, they need a premier team in the West, and LeBron is your biggest star in your biggest market. They need for the Lakers to be good and competitive.
Yeah, I think they'll get there. I don't expect them to, to the top, a top free agent like a KD or a Kawhi, but.
Yeah.
I think there's enough guys out there.
What pick? They're going to get a top five pick, right?
The Lakers? No, I don't think it's. I don't think it's top five. Let's see.
Top five.
They're currently. It would be 10th of everything.
I remember at one point they were in tank mode. But do you think they started tank mode too late?
They might have. One projection has them getting Cam Reddish. Would be interesting. At 10. I don't think they would move up. I mean, you could try to package the pick.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got to get rid of some of those guys and see if they can move up.
Yeah, if a first-round pick at a Kuzma.
Yeah.
That probably wouldn't do it for the Knicks if they were at 1. But if you wanted to... Let's say if you wanted to finally flip Lonzo and try to get John Morant,
that was going
to
be the guy I was going to say. Like Lonzo is, I don't think Lonzo's as bad as the kind of cultural zeitgeist says he is, but this is not the right fit for him. Like, I think the Lakers felt pressured into taking him, and he never should have been picked that high.
Yeah.
If we're looking at his actual talent, he's a top 10 pick, but he's not a top 5 pick.
Or top 2.
I think the move, if they can move Lonzo and get a higher draft pick, I think that's a win-win for both sides.
Yeah, so they'll be fine, I think. They have money. I mean, what it comes down to is just having the money to actually sign someone.
They got money and they got a good destination. So
yeah, that helps. It's not Utah.
What do you have against the good denizens of Salt Lake City, Marcus Vandenberg?
The ones that like to yell racist shit at NBA players, I don't know.
They would never do that, Marcus. Karl Malone play there. They have a black best friend.
Well, we can talk about another Karl Malone in this world in a second.
I think I know where you're alluding to, Marcus Vandenberg.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, anything else on the NBA as we are now in the playoffs that you want to talk about before we flip topics?
Yes, the Raptors. Every year I allow myself to fall for this trap of, this is the year the Raptors figure out the first round and sweep a team. And nope. Lost in game one to the Magic. Not even like a quality team. No offense, yeah. Orlando. But
then the Sixers or the Celtics.
Yeah. So I think they'll be fine, but that was a tough start yesterday.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by the playoffs. I think the first round should play to form, but Golden State's still the big bully on the block, and I don't see anybody in either conference being able to knock them off, at least not this year.
Assuming they stay healthy and they don't kill each other, then yeah.
They stay healthy, the team stays cohesive, and Draymond doesn't get a million texts, they should be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Is there anything? Because I think we have the main event of the show, but I don't know if we have any more undercard matches before we get to the main event.
Let's bring the show on home. Let's get to the main event.
All right. This could be segment four if we were breaking the show up this week, because there's so many avenues we can go with this discussion. But Marcus Vandenberg, in a month where we've seen Kofi Kingston become only the second black WWE world champion. Now, Tiger Woods is back. I'm officially naming April Black History Month 2 Electric Boogaloo. Tiger Woods, y'all. I see the conflict on your face, Marcus Vandenberg.
You know, I was looking at these tweets from Donald Trump, and I'm just like, So I figured out who Tiger Woods is finally.
Really? Okay.
Tiger is that one black friend that white America has in their lives.
Mm.
He's the safe. he's so safe he doesn't consider himself black.
He's Kevin Nation.
Yes, yes. So I understand why that audience is so behind Tiger. What I have a harder time figuring out is why the black audience supports him at the same level as they once did, knowing that Tiger doesn't care about us.
And I will tell you exactly why, Marcus.
Why is that?
Not to offend any of our listeners out there, but I'm just going to go with a food analogy.
Okay.
Let's say you go to a party, and all they have at the party are crackers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the food.
Okay.
And all of the crackers are saltine crackers. Like, they're not Captain Wafers. You know, they don't have any flavor to them. It's just saltines and rows upon rows of saltine crackers, Marcus Vandenberg.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, somebody puts a sleeve of buttery Ritz crackers on the table. Those Ritz crackers are going to be like the best thing you've ever eaten, because they are the one thing that is different from all these homogenous, flavorless, salty crackers. Tiger Woods is Ritz crackers for the black community. He's all we got, Marcus.
But what if those crackers got you sick one day? What if they brought you to your knees, Nate? What if they poisoned you, Nate? Would you still eat those crackers?
Are they still buttery?
Oh.
This was funny, Marcus, because, again, for those that don't know, Tiger Woods won the Masters. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, this was the first time he's come from behind to win a Masters?
That sounds right.
Because I think the other ones he had either a big lead or at least a couple strokes. But, yeah, Tiger Woods won his first major in
11 years.
11 years. And this was, what, his first Masters in 14 years?
Yeah.
And so now he's got 5 green jackets. He's, 3 majors behind Jack for the all-time record. I think he's 1 PGA Tour win behind Sam Snead, who should have been a black man with a name like Sam Snead.
Yeah.
And I think he's, 1 Masters behind Jack altogether? He's close.
Yeah.
So just as an athlete, like, that's a great accomplishment. And if we're looking at Tiger Woods without all of the personal stuff or political stuff, let's just talk golf for a second.
Okay.
And again, this is why I think Tiger Woods resonates with not only the black people, but not only golf fans, but people on Wall Street and Main Street, because he's the only golfer that matters in terms of moving the needle. And I think I never watched Jack Nicklaus, Marcus Vandenberg. I never watched Sam Snead or I'm trying to think of any other old time golfers. Arnold Palmer. Mm-hmm. The man makes a fine drink, but I never watched him golf. Tiger Woods to me is the greatest golfer of all time.
I would agree.
You say that that's a fair assessment. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we got Tiger Woods as the greatest golfer of all time, and he happens to be black-ish. Like, I don't know where the percentages lie in the Cablacanasian family tree, but Tiger Woods is black. He had somebody make a joke that he was going to serve fried chicken and collard greens at the Masters. Racial oppression, we'll accept you, Tiger Woods. But then you bring in the purpose.
Does he want to be accepted by us, though?
Well, that's the thing. Because then you bring in the personal stuff. And Tiger Woods is somebody who we've only really seen him with white women. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing wrong with that. He's somebody who doesn't. And this goes back to our conversation about The Rock earlier. One of the things that people have talked about The Rock in the lead up to Kofi at WrestleMania was, yes, biologically he is half black, but who does he culturally identify with? And clearly, he more identifies with his Samoan side.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, he certainly doesn't identify culturally as a black man. But I don't know, Marcus, if you could really say he overtly identifies as an Asian man either.
No.
He's almost like, what's the word? He's almost aracial. Like, you know, like if you got somebody that's asexual, mm-hmm. Tiger's almost aracial. Like, his skin color and his ethnicity are only incidental to who he thinks he is.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw his mom after he won today.
Yeah, that's the other part, man. Like, because we'll talk about some of the stuff that the Tiger stuff that everybody knows, but like, having his mom there and then the little kid,
mm-hmm.
his son and his daughter, like, there's a lot of things you can dislike Tiger Woods for, a lot of them self-inflicted wounds. But just as a sports fan, I thought that was a really cool moment.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of like his trophy moment there with having his family there. I think the thing that, I don't say bothers me, but and the reason why I can't root for him the same way is just because, you know, this dude is not hiding the fact that he's friends with the president, which is, you know.
He can't even lie to us like Tom Brady does.
No, he can't even lie. I think he probably gets more shout outs on Twitter than Brady does, actually, from Trump, to be honest.
That's because Donald Trump loves to hype up black people that associate with him.
Yeah.
Like that's one of his favorite things to do, whether it's your man Ben Carson, Omarosa before she flipped on him. Herman, like he just nominated Herman Cain for a cabinet position.
Yeah.
For no reason. Yeah. Like Donald Trump loves, what's the Gouda girls, man? Diamond and Silk.
Oh God.
They love sucking and jiving, trifling selves. Like he loves black people that like him. Stacey Dash.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Sheriff, what's the sheriff?
Sheriff Clark.
Sheriff Clark, yeah.
Yeah, this is Titus people right here. I will say this. I think the power that sports has is for at least one afternoon, the majority of the black sports fan community could be on the same page as fucking Donald Trump when it comes to watching Tiger Woods. Because what was the difference? You couldn't tell if that was me tweeting or Donald Trump tweeting about Tiger Woods. He was all over this morning.
It's true. Like, I think it's because,
and I think wrestling's very much like this as well. Where I think wrestling brings together people from both sides,
different communities,
and I think they're the greater passion for wrestling sort of, you know, it overshadows whatever else is going on in the room. I don't know if Tiger's at the level he might be, but it felt like it today.
Well, it's a couple things. One, you've got nostalgia, which is a very powerful thing. Like everybody that's, you know, our age, even older than us, like Tiger Woods was a big thing when he first stepped on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like a great run and then it ended. And so for him to recapture that, it kind of brings everybody back. The second thing is people love a comeback story, regardless of who's making the comeback. Like, yeah. America is a sucker for a comeback story. Then the other thing, you know, you talk about social media, particularly with Trump, people just like being part of a moment. And when Tiger's walking, because I didn't care about the Masters until I was going to bed last night and I was watching SportsCenter and your boy Van Pelt was like, Tiger's in the hunt. And I'm like, oh, interesting. And so then today, I didn't watch it because I'm not getting up early in the morning to watch golf. But, you know, there'd be various points during the day where I'm kind of checking Yahoo and seeing, oh, this is where the leaderboard is. Okay, cool. Whatever. Hour later. Oh, he's here. Okay. Then 2 hours later. Oh, he's in the lead now.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went back and looked the last time, you know, when he had a 2-stroke lead going into the final hole, I'm like, you know what? Let me watch. And I was right there watching Tiger Woods win the Masters. And it's like, you know, like I'm not a fan of Tiger Woods, the dude, but I think because of what he means to that sport, like it was a big moment. And I'm like, you know what? I have to watch this as a sports fan.
Yeah, he means, I mean, as you mentioned, he's the only draw in golf. And what we have not seen is other Tiger Woods.
Mm.
In terms of, and maybe now, we have, and it's,
I was going to say, because I know like Hampton University and Norfolk State. Uh-huh. Like, they've got pretty active golf teams at, you know, historically black colleges and universities. Do you think it's that more younger kids and black kids and kids of color didn't start playing golf because of Tiger? Or do you think it's just no matter how many of these kids are playing, access to that PGA level it's tough for anybody. But then when you add on the component of race, that might be another barrier.
I mean, so maybe it's become diverse in other ways, just in terms of maybe some of the American golfers and maybe some of the international golfers. You know, Tony Finau, for example, is someone who is a American golfer, but he does not look like one of those crackers you described earlier. he would fall food. Under the yes, the food. He would fall under the Ritz category. He is, I believe, he's Samoan.
Okay,
he's
so he's
also
he's more like you know those sociables crackers.
Uh huh.
The ones you use with the cheese. He's a sociable.
Okay. He's also related to Jabari Parker.
Really?
It's Jabari's cousin. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I actually like Tony. Like when I saw him talk, I was like, okay, I wouldn't have minded if he had won. Wouldn't have been a big story, but I wouldn't have minded if he had won.
Yeah. So maybe it's become because of Tiger Woods is people who are unique in their own way. And not necessarily like a second true black golfer that has sort of come up and hit the scene. Because I still can't name you another black golfer at the moment. Can't,
well, even like, and maybe, and Tiger talked about at the press conference, maybe his effect, he didn't bring up the racial element, but I'm bringing it up. Maybe his effect was not as big in terms of black golfers making it to the PGA, but more a new style of young white golfer.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that, you know, care about being in shape and the guys that a little bit younger, a little bit less stuffy than Tiger. Like all these young dudes that are now like for the last 5 years have been better than Tiger. He created those dudes.
Yeah. So I understand like that from that standpoint why this is important and why it matters. I just, you know, I was personally rooting for Tony Finau. A, because I picked him to win an office pool. And B, I was feeling petty. I was feeling some type of way this morning. Maybe because my president would not stop tweeting about the man. So,
hey, Tiger is actually helping the country, Marcus. Because think about it, brother. You got to open your eyes, brother. Because Tiger Woods is really out here helping his people. But you just don't see it. Because the more Trump tweets about Tiger, the less he's on Twitter attacking that poor Muslim lady in Congress. Think about it, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger saying, Woods is distracting Trump.
You know, for someone who has all this power and friendship, maybe you can use it for some good. You know, maybe you can tell your friend, hey, why don't you chill out against everyone, you know?
I'll tell you exactly why Tiger Woods won't say that, Marcus. It's because he's part black. And the black part of him, the black spidey senses, they don't work all the time. They didn't work when he was cheating on his wife and she hit him with that club. But they work now. They're like, hey, Tiger, you might want to keep your mouth shut around the president if you want to keep this thing going.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you, black conscience.
How soon before he's at the White House, Nate?
Tonight. He's taking the first flight out there, him and Donald Trump.
Yeah, boy.
Ooh, here's the better question, though. Will Trump serve him a proper meal, or will it be Pizza Hut, Domino's, Burger King?
KFC.
Actually, knowing Trump, it'll be Panda Express. I want to celebrate your culture,
both,
Tiger.
He'll get both sides. He'll get chicken and Asian food.
KFC and Panda Express.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll call Abdullah the Butcher, because remember he had that chicken joint with the Chinese food part?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know if that restaurant's still open.
I wouldn't eat there, but...
No, you can eat there. Just don't use the forks.
Yes. Yeah.
So, do you think this was a kind of blip, Marcus? Kind of everything kind of worked out in the right path. Like the people ahead of him kind of made some mistakes and fell back, and Tiger stayed consistent enough to win, and we got this moment. Do you think this is just kind of a one-off, or is Tiger actually somebody that is back in contention on a regular basis?
It's hard because oh my!
You're getting choked up now. You got to say something nice about Tiger. You're getting choked up.
Ah, man, it's hard because Tiger's health is always a question mark. You know.
Yeah.
So he could be healthy now, but by the British Open, he could be hurt. So it's really tough to say if he's going to be back or if he just had one amazing tournament.
Yeah, and you know. When they do the Tiger Woods movie, this is where the movie ends. like it fades out with Tiger winning this tournament and this little boy running into his arms.
And then like the black screen gives an update, Tiger Woods retired at whatever age. And,
played by Cuba Gooding Jr. as a makeup for him having to play radio.
Yes.
Tiger Woods retired as one of the greatest golfers ever. He still sleeps with white women. The end.
Yes.
I don't know if that was pertinent information to the story. So yeah, I think this was this is just a good sports week. Like, you know, whether you're talking about the basketball stuff or the wrestling component that we talked about earlier, and then kind of ending it with not only the NBA playoffs kicking off, but the only thing in golf that would have gotten golf on the headlines. Like, just as a sports fan, taking all the personal stuff about Tiger and his infidelities and his questionable political allegiances out of the picture, I thought it was a good way to kind of wrap up the sports week.
No mention of baseball.
Yeah, except for the Braves. The Braves who had that weird Tiger Woods meme thing going.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, like some, I think the correspondent for SB Nation that covers the Braves.
Okay.
Did something with a Tiger Woods meme. And so like for the last week or two, people have been posting like pictures of Tiger Woods with a Braves cap cropped onto him. And ever since they've started this little stupid Tiger Woods meme, the Braves have been improving. Like the Braves have had a good stretch here. You had Albies and Acuna re-up or sign longer term deals. So like they're like Tiger Woods is Tiger Woods and the Braves are in sync right now.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah. the internet just comes up with
stuff.
And baseball, like baseball Twitter, Marcus, your people, because well, the MLB, they tweeted out a picture of Tiger Woods and Ken Griffey Jr. from back in the day, right after Tiger won. It's like that's the only picture you have, like the blackest picture of Tiger Woods with his baseball cap on backwards.
I mean, he's probably not going to baseball games. That's probably all they had.
You know how they do the table for three for wrestling?
Uh-huh.
I would like to see a table for two. Well, I got two pitches for you, Marcus. Which would you rather see? A table for two featuring Tiger Woods and Ken Griffey Jr. right now, just kind of talking about that picture and whatever connections they have now, or a table for 10 featuring all the black Trump people?
Kimmy Griffey.
See, we got Marcus to say something positive about Tiger Woods. He'll watch the table for two with Tiger Woods and Ken Griffey Jr.
Yes.
That'd actually probably be pretty good because they both could like speak to being famous and having famous dads.
Fathers, yeah.
Yeah. That'd actually probably be a pretty good special. Somebody get ESPN on that. So, yeah. What a week it has been, Marcus. We started with, see, how can I bring things full circle and tie a bow on it? We started with a baby and ended with a birdie.
Who was the baby?
Your baby.
Oh. I was thinking about Kofi, and I was like,
Okay. So
Kofi's not a baby.
Tie Kofi in. We started with. I got nothing. Everything I was gonna say might be taken the wrong way because I was like, what food do I associate with Kofi? And then I realized it's all Jamaican food. So that stupid gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, we started with jerk chicken and ended with Ritz crackers.
Well, that's our key to wrap it up.
That is. Cause I can't think of a better joke to send us off with. But Marcus Vandenberg, for the people out there, I want to send you well wishes and congratulations on Twitter. where can they find you on social media?
You can find me at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
Very cool, very cool. You can find me on Twitter at N8MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show, Kings of Sport, CosPod, on Twitter, KOS_POD. Let's see, what else? There is no Rocky Maivia Picture Show on post this week. It'll be pushed back a week, and I'll talk to Marcus off air about how that came to be. It's nothing bad. It's just scheduling.
Okay.
Who knows, man? In a year, like, I might have to get a good roster of guest hosts up because Marcus has gotten no sleep. Been up all night changing diapers.
Yeah, we'll tackle that in the fall.
It's like, it'll be the Kings of Sport featuring special guest Marcus Vandenberg once a month. But not.
Here's my uncle. He just tweeted about Tider. And maybe this is where I get it from. I couldn't give a fraction of a fuck about Tiger Woods. Don't at me.
Wow. Was the Eagle Scout?
No, this is my mom's brother who lives actually up the street from me. Yeah, he lives in the area.
Damn. Is he light-skinned as well?
No, he's a little darker than me.
Okay, I'll say maybe it's a light skin thing. Maybe
nah,
it's a Vandenberg thing. The pettiness is in the genes.
Yes.
So, hopefully you don't pass that along to the kid, man.
I hope I do. my greatest gift.
Your greatest gift. Oh, real quick, shout out to Star Wars because I can now end my Star Wars band, Marcus Vandenberg.
Oh, because of Lando? You had a band?
Yeah, Billy Dee is back. Yeah, I didn't watch any of the new Star Wars. The Last Jedi.
The last two or the last, like, six or so, or five?
The only one I watched was Solo because they had Donald Glover playing Lando.
So you haven't seen Last Jedi or...
Force Awakens or what's the other one? Rebel? The one with Forrest Whitaker. Rogue One.
Speaking of Star Wars, Disney Plus, Nate. This is like, I mean, we all knew this was coming, but
yeah.
I think when you sort of see it laid out in terms of like, this is what is going to be on there,
mm-hmm.
and then you see the price, this is going to be legit.
Did I see somewhere, Marcus, that they're going to put The Simpsons on Disney Plus?
All 30 seasons. All of them.
So I'm guessing that, because remember the talk was that it would be, it'd be all family content. It'd be all, you know, G-rated.
Mm-hmm.
Simpsons aren't G-rated.
Well, no, I mean, they have the movies. So, I mean, the movies are not going to be G-rated.
So they'll have like a special adult, not adult, but.
PG-13, a teenager section.
PG-13 section. Now, if Disney Plus had an adult section, that'd be something.
Well, it'd be Disney X.
Is Mickey shooting a video?
Shooting something. So they're going to have, I mean, obviously all the Disney properties and stuff, but
they're
also doing original content for the network as well.
Yeah, I know they got like original films. Marvel series coming out with like the actual actors from the movies.
Yeah. I didn't see this. Oh, TV shows. All right, here we go. Boy Meets World.
Okay.
The Dog Whisperer, Cesar Millan. I didn't know that was a Disney property.
I didn't either.
The original DuckTales.
Mm.
Goof Troop.
Okay, so all the, like the Darkwing Duck, the Disney afternoon stuff.
Malcolm in the Middle.
That's an odd
one.
Let's
see. That's So Raven.
Of course. It's
an underrated show. Simpsons.
Do you know they've got a reboot of that?
Of That's So Raven?
Yeah.
with Raven Simone. I think I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, like her and the white girl that was on the original show, they're like single moms who live across from an apartment from each other.
Huh.
I think it's like, it's something Raven, like Raven's Nest. Or what about right. me? What about Raven?
What about me?
That's Raven's home. That's what it is. Raven's home.
Okay. The one...
Raven's Nest would have been a better title.
The one thing that's not listed on here, of course, Nate, would be Son of the South. Which,
you got to pay for another tier to get to that.
You got to pay for the racist tier.
You can only watch that at the White House with Trump and Tiger.
Yeah. Not surprised that's not on there.
Oh, man. They could make so much money, though, if they were like, for an additional $10 a month, you get exclusive, Disney exclusive stuff we've never put out. The Song of the South. Didn't Walt Disney, like, do cartoons for, like, World War II propaganda?
I think so.
Put out that stuff.
Yeah. Everything else was going to be on there, though. So I think this is when...
Okay, what was the price point again?
$6.99.
They're undercutting themselves.
A little bit.
Because I think Netflix just went up.
It did. I mean, this is like... Netflix is now double the price.
Yeah. They could have easily gone WWE and $9.99 it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would still been a bargain.
This is when I'll catch up on the Marvel stuff, Nate.
Now that you can watch all of them at home?
Yeah, it makes it easy. I mean, right now, if I were to watch Marvel films, I would either A, have to spend money to rent them, or B, download them illegally, which is a lot of work.
Contact nefarious means.
Yeah. I mean, you can maybe catch them on TV here and there, but if you wanted to start from start to finish, you really should have to, you know, you have to rent them. So, one last thing on this, my favorite show that's going to be coming on this network that's new is called Be Our Chef, where families from, quote, diverse backgrounds, join a Disney-inspired cooking competition at Walt Disney World. In each episode, two families will participate in a theme challenge based on their family traditions and the magic of Disney. The finalists will apply what they have learned to create a dish that represents what their family through a Disney lens.
This feels like they could be walking on some shaky ground here.
We got the
Johnsons here. They're an exotic family. What's this dish? Fried chicken and collard greens.
Yes.
So unique.
Yeah.
Tell us about your people. Yeah, they got to walk carefully with that one.
Yeah. So November 12th, that comes out just in time for the holidays.
I'll say right around. When the kids are going to be out of school and Thanksgiving and Christmas break around the corner.
Let's see. All told, the service in the first year will include 25 original series, 10 original films and specials, 500 films, and 7,500 episodes of current and past TV shows. 1,000 of which has to be like The Simpsons, at least.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy. Like, normally with stuff like this, I wait a while for them to work the bugs out. Like, I waited probably about a year on the WWE Network. I still haven't signed up for the DC streaming service with all the superhero stuff. I was still doing, like, the Netflix DVDs.
Oh, wow.
Up until maybe about 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Okay.
Actually, it's still a thing. I didn't even know it was still a thing.
I didn't know either.
Yeah, it's like a separate website, but if you go to Netflix website, they got a little button in the corner. It's like DVD flicks. Okay. And so, like, they still send DVDs out to people, I guess, who don't have good cable service.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Wi-Fi or whatever, or internet. But this is something where, like, just with the sheer price point alone, like I would hop on this on day one just to see what they got.
Yeah.
So good job, Disney. This is the first step to us being run by corporate overlords.
Yes. So yeah, we sidetracked for 10 minutes. All right. Mark Lewell, MARCWI.
You could have brought that up before we got to Tiger. That would have been a good little.
I know.
See, we hit the high point of the night with Tiger, and then we didn't learn our lesson from the WWE, who got out. You know, we should have got out after the main event, but we stayed for another 10 minutes.
Sorry, this was our Triple H Batista moment. We went long. This was about us.
A Disney sledgehammer.
Yes.
Mickey's going over tonight.
Yeah, Mickey always does over.
Mickey's going over, kid. Oh, I got the shovel. Oh. Do the job, nigga. Oh. All right, again, you can find me in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Facebook.com/The Kings of Sport. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify podcast. That's another one. I think we're on TuneIn, probably.
That sounds
podcast
great.
Addict. But wherever you get your podcast from, we are there. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts as well, which I guess is iTunes, kind of, sort of. Like the show, subscribe to the show, and most importantly, if you like what we're doing, share the show with your friends, because you're not going to get this type of intense Tiger Woods commentary from anybody else in the sports landscape right now. I don't think Scott Van Pelt's going to use my cracker analogy tonight.
No. And I don't think people are actually going to talk about the race stuff in general, because
no,
either they're not in a situation to discuss it because they don't have staffing, or a situation like ESPN where, you know, it's very much set to sports now. You're not getting the Trump undertones on a Tiger Woods story. So
nope. If only they had people there that could talk about it. Stay tuned for what's the name of the show with Jamel coming out Monday.
That's right. One more plug. Jamel Hill is Unbothered Monday.
Yes.
Spotify.
That's a great title, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, when you're done listening to this show, listen to that show. Or if this show comes out after that show, do the reverse, which doesn't make sense, because if you're hearing us now, you've already listened to our show.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Again, Marcus, congratulations.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week, probably talking some NBA. Who knows? If they do anything stupid with the superstar shakeup, we'll probably talk about that a little bit too. We'll see, man. There's a lot of things going on in the sports world right now. Maybe we'll
some
actually
hockey.
Talk... I was going to say, maybe we'll actually talk hockey. Bill has been asking on Twitter to come on and talk hockey. Maybe we'll talk to Bill.
The Islanders are up 3-0.
So we'll let you and Bill talk for 10 minutes, and I can go take a smoke break or a vape break. Yeah, we'll be back next week with an all-new edition of the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. I drank champagne in the rain. I drank champagne on a plane. I drank champagne when I'm in Brussels. I drank champagne with Nipsey Russell. I drank champagne when I'm in the hood. I drank champagne with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, y'all. Tiger Woods, y'all. Even if Marcus Vandenberg doesn't like it, Tiger Woods, y'all. He's all we got. He's our Ritz cracker. And there's a deeper meaning in that. If people want to get all into the intricacies, message. And you've been down with the Kings.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now, can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Riding on a tractor, lean all in my blood. Cheated on my baby, you can go and ask her. My life is a movie, bull riding in boobies. Cowboy hat from Gucci, Wrangler on my booty. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. Like a rock star, spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar. Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras. Riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car. Got no stress, I've been through all that. I'm like a Marlboro man, so I kick on back. Wish I could roll on back to that old town road. I wanna ride till I can't no more.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!